Good morning. I want to start by asking you a question. Do you remember the day that the Lord called you to be his child? Do you remember the day you gave your life to Jesus Christ? And does someone want to share how old you were maybe? Or I was 12, I think. Anybody else have recollection of 10, 11, 25? 17? 10 or 11. So, my guess is that most of you probably weren't overly important. You weren't an economist or a college professor, or you weren't very influential. You might not have been a lawyer or a judge or a congressman, maybe, or a senator. You probably, in the eyes of the world, weren't maybe all that smart. If you were 17, you might have thought you were smart, but probably weren't as smart as you thought. At 12, I didn't really know that much. So I would say that we probably weren't overly intelligent, maybe, when we were called to Jesus Christ. I don't think anybody here was of noble birth. Nobody's a king or queen now, or prince, princess. Nobody born into a very influential family with a lot of wealth. I think I saw a $1 million check in the offering the other week. No. So we're just kind of ordinary, common people. And I had to think about that. When it comes to sharing the gospel, it seems like a lot of times maybe we don't think we know the scripture well enough. We don't know, maybe we'll be able to answer a question that someone might ask us. We're not sure exactly what to say. And sometimes it's just plain down scary. Would anybody agree with that? And so, I think that's a good thing in the eyes of Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at a scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. If you want to look at that, you can. But if you have that, get ready to read that. But I had to think about the songs the worship team did this morning. And I'm not sure, Sean and Laura, if you had a theme or whoever put the songs together. Charis, I don't know who did that.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, amen. But if there was a theme, I think it kind of is like God's in control. We just have to trust God. God's enough. What's the last song we just sang? You know, we over and over we kept, you know, God's enough. It doesn't matter what circumstance, where we're at, God's enough. And I think that kind of goes, it was the Holy Spirit, Mary, you're exactly right, because it's amazing how things go together on a Sunday morning. It's not because of us, it's because of what the Holy Spirit is doing. Do you have that, Deb?
I do.
Go ahead and read that.
Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. This is our righteousness, holiness, redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord.
I think that scripture is written just for us. You know, if you're scared or you don't feel like you're good enough, that's because God wants you that way. He wants us to be relying on him and not ourselves. And so this morning, let's just open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence here this morning. We just ask that as we look at your word, as we talk about going out and telling others about you, that you would just speak into each person's heart this morning. Give us each something that we can take with us when we leave here this morning. It's not about anything this morning, but about you. We need to learn from you, and so we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would work in each person's heart, in each person's life here, that you would teach us, give us something that's going to encourage us this morning, is what we ask in your name. Amen. I have a couple of things that I think the Holy Spirit has given me to share with you, and I'm thinking that he'll give you maybe something more to add to this list, but seven things to help encourage us to go out and tell others about Jesus. And the first one I think we've been talking about already, and that's to trust God. Trust God to work through you. I think we need to get, sometimes we think, oh, we got to go out and tell someone about Jesus. We're going to do that this week. And I don't think it works that way. There's a lot of things that we don't understand that are going on in the spiritual realm. And so if we want to tell someone about Jesus, we have to realize that it's not about me. It's about what God can do through me. Do you get that? We need to be a conduit for God to work through. And we need to realize it's nothing that we can do, but it's what God can do when you allow him to work through you. So I think that's one of the key things, is we need to trust God and allow him to work through us. The second thing that I have to share is I think that something has to change in my life. Something has to change in your life. Mary, when you study something and you spend a lot of time on it, God speaks to you. And so sometimes when you're up here, it seems like he's speaking to me more than he is to you. But that's one of the things I think it's important for us to get into God's word so he can speak to us. But he wants us to change something in our lives. We got to do something different. There's a good example, I think, in Scripture of this. It's found in John chapter 4, verses 28 to 30. This is the middle of an account of the woman at the well when Jesus was ministering to her. And so if you have that Scripture, you can get ready to read that. But some of the things we have to change in our lives, I think we have to change maybe what we're talking about. Or am I trying to inject Jesus into my conversation? Or am I talking about just Roe versus Wade? You know, there's a way we can inject Jesus if that's a conversation in the world today. There's a way we can inject Jesus into that. So we need to immerse ourselves in Jesus. We need to understand what he wants us to be sharing and doing. And I think that's key as in changing something in our life. So if you have that Scripture, go ahead and read. This is a woman at the well.
So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him.
I think this is an amazing story of evangelism. And the reason we're just reading these couple scriptures, I want you to understand and see what the woman did in verse 28. What was she doing? This was, I think it says in the beginning of the account that this is the sixth hour, so it had been early in the morning. And so she had this water jug and she was going to a well to get water. It's probably a daily task. And I think it's pretty important you have water to drink or water to work with. I mean, can we live without water? And so this is an important thing that was happening. And every day she'd go and get water. What does she do in verse 28? Do you catch what happened? She left her water jug. The thing she set out to do, the thing that's most important probably in her life to do every morning to get water, she left her water jug. She left her water jug. She changed her routine. And she went home and shared this interaction she had with Jesus, with her neighbors, people that lived near her, to the point where they came out and Jesus ends up spending a couple days with the Samaritan people, and many of them came to know him because this woman went and told what Jesus had done in her life. Is Jesus doing something in our lives that we can go out and tell other people about? And if he's not, then we need to change something we're doing in life and spend more time with him. The more time we spend with him, the more time he's going to spend with us, and there's more things he's going to change in our hearts. And he's going to start doing things in your life, and you'll be able to go out and tell people that, just as a woman at the well. The third thing, I don't have a scripture for this one, but I think it's very important. It's woven throughout the scriptures, and we read about it a lot. But I think there needs to be consistency in our life. We need to live a consistent life. We need to be treating all people the same, not showing favoritism. And that's something I struggle with all the time at work. I could have someone comes in who wants to spend $5,000, and I have someone that comes in and wants to buy a couple of bolts that I actually will lose money on helping them because they're only going to spend 50 cents. And so I strive to treat people the same. That's very difficult to do in the work world, but that's what Jesus is calling us to do. We need to do that with the people in our circles. We need to treat everybody the same. And some of the ways we need to treat people, I think we need to be like Jesus as much as you're able to be like Jesus all the time. Did you catch that? You need to be like Jesus as much as you're able. I don't think we're going to be like Jesus because we're not perfect. But you need to be like Jesus as much as you're able all the time. And that'll change how we treat people and how we minister to people. We shouldn't be acting differently on Monday than the way we did today. It was great coming here and worshiping, wasn't it? And kind of just being in God's presence and letting Him speak to us and praise Him. But how are we going to act Monday? It's important that we carry that into the week. And we act the same throughout the week as we do on a Sunday. There needs to be consistency in our life. When we go out into the world, we don't want to act like people we're around. We want to act like Jesus. When we're in the workplace, we don't want to act like people we're around. We want to act like Jesus. You know, when you're in a difficult time, you don't want to treat people the way they're treating you. We want to act like Jesus. Being a Christian is kind of like a whole different lifestyle. And the constant in being a Christian is Jesus Christ in my life, in my heart. And that needs to make a difference. And when we allow Him to make a difference to us, I think we'll start treating people the way He desires and the way He would. So we need to love others. We need to treat people with respect. We need to overlook flaws. We need to treat people differently than the way the world treats them. We need to live a life of honesty and integrity. And Laura, I might need your help. Oh, you're going to leave me. We need the fruits of the Spirit. Love, peace. I always get seven. You get the... I don't know the song. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Faithfulness. I knew I missed one. Fruits of the Spirit need to be a part of our life. There I was counting on Laura this morning. She left right at that time. The fourth thing I have is we can't be concerned about what other people think about us if we talk to them about Jesus. I think we would all agree that Jesus was the only perfect human being that lived on this earth. He did everything right. He did everything the best way possible. He was loving to everyone He met. And yet, that scripture that was, I know we didn't read it yet, John 15:18-19. If you get that, if you have that, get ready to read it. Even though He was perfect, He was loving, He treated everybody the way He deserved. Jesus was rejected. He was despised. He was hated. He was murdered when He died a death on the cross. So how do you think people are going to treat you if you want to tell them about Jesus sometimes? Go ahead and read the scripture of John 15:18-19.
When the world hates you, remember, it hated Me before it hated you. The world would love you if you belonged to it, but you don't. I chose you to come out of the world, and so it hates you.
I think there's more hate in there than I would care to think about. Nicole, you shouldn't use that word so often, right? You know, this is from the scripture of the vine and the branches when Jesus is telling us how much we need to be connected to Him. It's telling us the importance of living our life with Him, being like Him. And yet right after He finishes that whole account, He goes and says this, that if you're going to be like Me, the world's going to hate you like it hated Me. That's tough, but I think that's sometimes a reality. And I had to think about when Mary was talking about how do we share with people that are so hateful right now are Roe versus Wade, and that's a good thing to pray about, because we need to share Jesus somehow through that. But there will be a lot of hate out there for us if we love the Lord. And so, knowing that's already going to be part of what you're going to face, we shouldn't have to worry about being concerned about what people are going to think if we share Jesus with them. Because the world needs to hear about Jesus and how much he loves them. The fifth thing I have here, and I think this is one of the most important, and you've heard this many times, we need to pray. And there's a lot of different ways we can pray. I have a couple things to share here. I'm sure the Holy Spirit's going to give you some other ideas in your heart throughout the week if you're praying for the lost. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, NIV says, pray continually. I remember it, pray without ceasing. I don't know if that's King James, probably. But we're to be praying all the time. Does everybody here pray every day? Well, do you pray twice a day? Do you pray three times a day? Do you pray every hour? Do you pray twice an hour? Pray without ceasing. Sometimes I think at work you get so caught up in what you're doing, there's times I might go an hour without even thinking about the Lord because you're that busy helping other people. I think we need to get our minds so immersed in Jesus Christ that we think about him all the time. There's often times I'm asking God, well, what do you want me to say to this person? How am I to respond to that? Just constantly we're praying. But that needs to be a big part of our life if we want to tell others about Jesus, if we want to go out and minister to people. If you have 2 Timothy 1:7 and 8, get ready to read that. One of the first things you can pray for is that God will take your fear and anxiety away. If you have a fear or anxiety about sharing Jesus with somebody, ask God to take it away. Go ahead and read, Mary, I'm assuming you have that.
For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God.
Thank you. Replace that fear with not something that you can do, but with what? The power of the Holy Spirit that resides in you. We need to learn to rely on the Holy Spirit to work through us. I can't do it, but the Holy Spirit can. Something for us to remember. So pray that God will take that fear and anxiety away. The second thing is, and I think we've said this before, but pray daily that God will put someone into your interactions that day who needs to know him. I think God does that all the time. And maybe also with that prayer, pray that God will show you those opportunities when they come up. Because there's people that you may not know that you'll have an interaction with that need to know Jesus and their hearts are ripe and ready. And you're not going to know that, but the Holy Spirit can prompt you to say something to that person. So pray that on a daily basis. There's a person I think is going to be coming here sometime. I've invited him multiple times. But I'm praying for him, and he needs Jesus. He knows about God, but he needs Jesus in his heart. If God has put a specific person like that in your life, pray for him. Pray for him on a daily basis. Pray that God will soften their heart. Pray that God will give you the right opportunities to share with them. And pray that the Holy Spirit's going to give you the right things to say at the right time, because that's something the Holy Spirit knows that we don't. So we have to rely on the Holy Spirit to help us in doing that. So prayer is essential to make all that happen. Pray for spiritual protection for you and your family. If you want to tell someone about Jesus and you start doing that, guess who's not going to like that? The enemy. Satan is not going to like that, and so he's going to come after you. So pray for that spiritual protection. That's essential when you're telling others about Jesus. Cover your family in prayer. And pray for your brothers and sisters here at New Beginnings. One of the reasons we come together on a Sunday morning, God says we shouldn't forsake gathering together as a body. This is God's church, and he wants us to come here so that we can encourage one another, so that we can build each other up, so we can pray for each other. We do that often in the opening. We'll pray for needs, praises. We thank God. We ask God to help in certain circumstances. We need to be praying also for our brothers and sisters that we would live passionately for Jesus. So look around this morning and ask the Holy Spirit to put a couple names in your heart, in your mind, and pray for those people this week. Pray that they'll live passionately for Jesus. Pray that as they go through the week, that Jesus will rule their life and give them opportunities to share the gospel. Pray that as a body, each Sunday morning when we gather together, that we would encounter Jesus. If you come here and you're visiting and you don't sense the Holy Spirit here, then we got problems here. Because then it's about us and not about God. So we want people to come here and realize that the Holy Spirit is working. So we need to pray that we're open to what he's doing and that we realize what he's doing and listen to what he's doing. But we need to do that on a weekly basis. Pray that we would read God's word as a body, that we would all be reading God's word, not because, I got to read my chapter today, but because we want to get closer to God. We want to learn a new truth about him. We want to learn something that he's put in here that can affect my life. You know, this is something that sits around in our houses a lot and doesn't get read a whole lot. I'll read it in the morning, and then it kind of just sits on the table while I'm at work and come home, and it's still sitting there. And yet, this is something that God has given us to help us. It's kind of like a guidebook, and yet we don't often treat it that way. If you have a guidebook, it doesn't do much good if you don't read it. Do you ever try to put something together without reading the instructions? Those instructions are there for a purpose, and yet so often we'll try to put something together and it doesn't work out, and then we go and read the guidebook to see how it's done. We need to be reading. Someone's smiling back there. They must have just had an experience with that. I won't say it was you, Mary. Mary Musser, but anyway. Pray that our worship, when we worship here in the morning, that it would affect us in a deep way. I think it does. I mean, we have a great time of worship here, I think, and people have said that to come in and visit. But continually pray for that would continue, that God would speak to us on individual levels as we worship. And pray that during this sermon that the Holy Spirit would help us understand what he wants us to learn from his word. Each of us this morning probably have something different that the Holy Spirit wants to teach us this morning. I don't know what that is. But God does. And so pray that the Holy Spirit is working on individual levels every Sunday morning, that he's touching people's hearts and getting them to go to a deeper level in their lives. And I'm sure you could add tons of things as to what we should be praying for. But all those things are what happens here on Sunday morning, I think, affects what happens in our week. And so if we want to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ, we need to have a good time with the Lord here on Sunday, and we need to be receiving and hearing what he's telling us. So we need to cover all those things, I think, in prayer. Here's the sixth thing. 2 Timothy 4:2. Does someone have that? Go ahead and read that. Emily?
Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction.
This is a very familiar scripture. Timothy, I thought, might be a good book to read. Put it on your read list, you know, as we're talking about being sent. But be prepared. Paul is telling Timothy, this young Christian, be prepared to share the gospel, kind of. And we, likewise, need to be prepared. What's the most important part, probably, of the gospel message? I mean, I think two of the central things are Jesus' death on the cross and the resurrection. And so are you prepared to share that and explain how that all affects us and how it affects your salvation to someone? We need to be prepared to tell somebody that. And when we meet somebody, this I'm going back to, I think, number two. I need to change some things in my life. What am I going to talk about to a customer that comes in the store? Well, what can I help you with? What can I? But also, how am I going to interject what God wants me to say? It could be something simple. What do you think about God? Or what do you think about religion even? Something even very non-threatening. Or what do you think about this whole abortion thing? It might give you a chance to share with Jesus. Initiate a conversation. It might be as simple. What do you believe? What do you think of God? Well, I don't think God exists. It could be something like that, that you might get into a conversation like that. Are you prepared for a conversation like that? Probably not, but the Holy Spirit is. So that's why it's so important to be connected. The last thing I think is important, number seven, is accept the person for where they're at. If someone says, I don't believe that God exists, we need to accept that that's where they're at, but we need to love them. And that would be a good person to connect with if you can get together on a regular basis and start talking about some things. I mean, even if you're an atheist, you believe in something, don't you? If God doesn't exist, how do we come to be? You might believe in evolution or whatever, but it all goes back to a point where it takes faith. I mean, how can I explain that God existed always? Can anyone here explain how that's possible? You know, that takes faith. But if someone doesn't believe in God, how are they going to explain that? Where did the world come from? Where did all this come from? Where did it start? I read an article once that scientists discovered wall of universe. I thought, well, that's very interesting. What's on the other side of the wall, Mr. Scientist? You know, it takes faith. Everybody has faith. We just need to get them to start understanding that Jesus is the only thing that makes sense in this life. You might encounter someone who's angry at God, who's going through a difficult time and blames God for it. But we just need to love them as Jesus did. Isn't that what Jesus did? He just loved people. And I think the hardest part for me is sometimes when you go through all this, sometimes I think I'm a little bit too comfortable in this world. Sometimes I think I just have things a little bit too good. I like the way things are now. And yet, what does Jesus tell us? This isn't our home. This isn't where you live. Don't get too comfortable. You know, our home's in heaven with Jesus for an eternity. So why do I get so comfortable here? Why do I get so involved with this place? And sometimes I think that can hinder me from sharing what Jesus wants me to say because I'm too comfortable where things are at. In accepting people where they're at, the other thing I think I want to just remind you of, or the Holy Spirit I think wants us to be aware of, is don't be too pushy. Sometimes if we're too pushy, we could shove somebody away. So again, it goes back to the Holy Spirit. We got to trust the Holy Spirit. And the hard part is when he prompts us to do something that makes no sense at all, we need to do it, right? So I'm not sure what you needed to hear this morning. I think I know what I needed to hear because the Holy Spirit's been dealing with me through this whole thing as well. So I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you in a specific thing this morning. And so I encourage you this week to follow through on whatever God is asking you to do. Maybe you put someone on your heart. Maybe he is telling you you need to change something in your life before you're ready to go out and share Jesus with others. But we need to be obedient and follow through on what God is asking you to do. Let's close in prayer. Where would we be without you, Jesus? We are so thankful that when you left, that you left the Holy Spirit for us. The third part of you, Father. The Holy Spirit, who's with each of us wherever we go. What an awesome thing. He can go everywhere we go with all of us all the time. What an awesome thing that is. What a blessing, Father. Help us to connect in our lives with you, Holy Spirit. Help us to be sensitive to your promptings. Help us to be obedient to what you're asking us to do. Empower us, teach us, direct us, use us to do your will here in this earth. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here this morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for watching over us. Help us. We need you. We can't do it ourselves. Thank you for your great love for us. In your name we pray, amen. So go and have a good week and tell someone about Jesus.